God's grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance, for you have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be sprinkled in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God that's the basis for our meditation this morning is taken from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. Therefore, for you who believe, this is an honor. But for those who do not believe, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone over which they stumble and a rock over which they fall. Because they continue to disobey the word, they stumble over it, and that is the consequence appointed for them. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people who are God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. At one time you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. At one time you were not shown mercy, but now you have been shown mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and temporary residents in the world to abstain from the desires of the sinful flesh, which war against your soul. Live an honorable life among the Gentiles, so that even though they slander you as evildoers, when they observe your noble deeds, they may glorify God on the day he visits us. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who is himself the difference between eternal life and eternal death, dear fellow redeemed, in his most precious blood. For many people, for many years, Christ was the dividing line in human history. The years of antiquity, for example, were designated by the letters B.C., which stood for before Christ. So also, the years after Christ's birth were designated by the letters A.D., which does not mean after death, but a Latin phrase, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Our current year, by this designation, would be Anno Domini 2022. I'm not clear when it happened, but it's become popular, especially among professors and teachers, to use a different designation for time today, one that leaves Jesus Christ out of the equation. The years are divided all the same, but today the favored designated letters are BCE, before the common era, and CE, in the common era. You see, for many in our world, Jesus of Nazareth is little more than a historical figure, one with little consequence in the whole of history. The truth is, though, Jesus Christ is the dividing line. When the infant Jesus was brought to the temple 40 days after his birth, the elderly believer Simeon spoke to Mary and foretold how humankind would react to her child. He would be a dividing line for all of humanity. Some would reject him. He would be a sign spoken against. But others, by God's grace, would believe on him. Simeon foretold, "Listen carefully. This child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." We continue our study of the first epistle of Peter this morning, and we note that the Apostle Peter pictures Christ as the dividing line. He is either honored or rejected. If honored, he gives purpose. If rejected, there is no purpose. He teaches those who believe to glorify God, not to satisfy themselves. This is the very word of God, not merely the musings of a first century Jewish fisherman. We therefore seek the blessing of God the Holy Spirit, that we may grow in our faith in Christ. We pray, sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Last Sunday we noted that the first six verses of this second chapter of 1 Peter Believers are compared both to infants, dependent upon the nourishment of the word, and also to stones who are being built up into something bigger than themselves. We're urged to keep coming to Jesus, the living stone, that we may be joined to him and become part of the one body, the Holy Christian Church. However, not everyone who is told that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, will believe it. In fact, when human beings hear of Christ, they either honor him or reject him. Verses 7 and 8. Therefore, for you who believe, this is an honor. But for those who do not believe, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone over which they stumble, and a rock over which they fall. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, a large crowd of people followed behind him, and another crowd came out from the city of Jerusalem to meet him. The assembled crowd, as you well know, threw their clothing on the ground before him along with palm branches, and they cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." In so doing, they recognized, for one day at least, that Jesus was the promised Savior. Some of the assembled crowd spoke the words of Psalm 118, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Psalm 118 also reveals that not everyone who sees the Christ will believe in him. Some will reject him. For it's Psalm 118 that Peter quotes, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." When Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, in a fashion he rode into the mouth of the lion. He came to a city whose name means City of Peace, but was never really a city of peace for God's prophets. When God sent his prophets to Jerusalem, very many of them were rejected and even killed in the City of Peace. The religious leaders of Jesus' day also rejected him as the promised Savior, despite his powerful word and despite his miracles, which none could dispute. They were like builders who counted a certain stone to be worthless, Jesus, who turned out to be the most important of all. Jesus still is the dividing line. Even today, the wise and learned of our age reject Jesus as a worthless person. Religion is the opiate of the people, some say. If they haven't denied the existence of God altogether, such people imagine that they'll be fine when they must stand before God. But you see, when people throw aside that stone, that living stone, and count it as something worthless, they're bound to stumble over it and fall. In considering the living stone, the cornerstone, worthless, they are themselves rejected by God, who placed the cornerstone even to save them. They reap the consequences of their actions. Peter says, "Because they continue to disobey the word, they stumble over it, and that is the consequence appointed for them." That's not what God wanted for them. That's not what God wanted for the religious leaders of Jesus' day. That's not what God wants for the wise and learned today, that they be rejected and condemned because they count his son as worthless. It is of their own doing that they face such judgment. In this world, Jesus is either rejected, or by God's grace, he breaks through the unbelief of man and makes of human beings his own people, giving them purpose in life. Listen how Peter continues, verses 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people who are God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. At one time you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. At one time you were not shown mercy, but now you have been shown mercy. As we grow up, for some of us that was a long time ago, we look for our place and our purpose in life. We try and figure out what it is that we want to do with the rest of our lives, what occupation we would live from. As Christian parents, we want the same for our children, that they find their place in life, that they find a godly spouse, and they are led to an occupation that satisfies them. But as Christians, we are given our purpose in Christ. We are a chosen people. We may be of different ethnic backgrounds, we may even grow up in different countries, but as Christians, we are chosen by God to be his people. In the Old Testament, God chose Abraham's descendants to be his people, the people through whom he would make known the promises of the Savior. In the New Testament, God chooses those who believe in his Son to be his people, the spiritual people of God. We are a royal priesthood. We don't need another human being to stand and offer a sacrifice to God on our behalf. We don't need another human being to intercede for us with God. We are a royal priesthood, members of the family of God who serve the King. We can come directly to the Father through his Son, Jesus. We are a holy nation because we have been cleansed of sin through faith in his Son. We are God's own possession. How could it be otherwise? He's the one that paid the price to set us free, to redeem us for himself. And what is the purpose that he gives to us? This chosen people, this royal priesthood, this holy nation, God's own possession. Our purpose is to proclaim the praises of him who called us from the darkness of sin and death to his marvelous light. We are to make known to our friends and neighbors who have no idea how it is that we became the people of God and how it is that we obtained mercy. God has made us who we are, and he has given us our purpose in life. We're blessed. But we can undermine the work and purpose we've been given by returning to the ways of sin. And for our eternal good, then, we are warned. Verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and temporary residents in the world, to abstain from the desires of the sinful flesh which war against your soul. Live an honorable life among the Gentiles so that even though they slander you as evildoers, when they observe your noble deeds, they may glorify God on the day he visits us. When we first began our study of this letter of Peter, we learned that some of the people to whom the apostle was writing were living outside of their homeland. They were immigrants. Others had become like strangers in their own homeland when they became Christians. The Holy Spirit urged them through Peter to consider themselves to be outsiders, strangers in this earth, because they were citizens of heaven. As Christians, we're to think of ourselves as strangers passing through this world. As a result, we've learned that we're not to live like the locals, like those who live for this life. We're to conduct ourselves in a way that pleases our Heavenly Father, like temporary residents in the world. If there's anything that could change our status with God and put our eternal inheritance in jeopardy, it would be returning to our sinful lives. In fact, the Apostle Peter here says that following the desires of our sinful natures is to enter into war against our own souls. Now, as we sit here in padded pews this morning, we may think to ourselves, there's no real danger. My faith is strong. I'll never forsake Jesus. But this warning isn't here for no reason. Our fallen natures could take over and destroy our faith. It's easy to live for this world. It's easy to do what feels good. It's easy to get comfortable here, to seek more and more stuff. But there are consequences to such actions. We should also consider our witness to this world. If we live in a way that's no different than the locals, then the locals will see us. And they'll conclude that our religion is really kind of empty, that we're really no different than they are. If we join with the crowd to laugh at sin, we aren't the only ones who get a black eye out of it. So does the Savior Jesus, who died to make us his own. And so we are here urged to live honorable lives, live according to God's will, so that when the unbelieving see our actions, they will see that belonging to Jesus means something. It means turning away from sin. It means doing the right thing no matter who's watching. They may not be led to seek the reason for the hope that is in us, but when the Savior returns at last to visit this earth, on that day, they will be forced to glorify God. Christ is still the dividing line. He is either honored or rejected. If honored, he gives purpose. If rejected, there is no purpose. He teaches that those who believe are to glorify God with their lives, not satisfy themselves. May he enable us to do just that. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.